Thanks for joining us today. I'm Tara, and I'm the co-host of The Corner Store. And unfortunately, Kevin couldn't be here today, so I have my sub-moderator, the wonderful Eddie.
Thank you.
Who is a who runs a business management firm for creatives and artists. So today we're here to talk about hip-hop aesthetics and the quintessential question from the movie Brown Sugar, as Christine pointed out to me when I asked her to be on this panel. When did you fall in love with hip-hop? And joining us today is a very creative group of Chicagoans. And if y'all could start by introducing yourselves.
My name is Roger. Some people know me by Mr. Rogers. I'm one of the co-owners of Juggernaut. We're located right over here around the corner, Dearborn and Congress.
What's up? My name is Cleva Knox. I am one half of Mother Nature. We are dominating Chicago through hip-hop, through peace and love, through womanhood.
My name is Christine Marie, also known as DJ King Marie.
Oh, wow.
That's me.
You don't want to elaborate?
It's my air horn app.
I also
very weak.
I am a DJ, creative director, model.
Hey, there you go.
There you go.
So I guess, you know, it's about hip hop aesthetics. So let's talk about when and how you first engaged with hip hop.
Well, I'm grown as hell. I won't tell my age, but I'm very old. But I've been listening to hip-hop for a very, very long time. But the first time I was introduced to it was via my uncle. My uncle didn't speak any English. He was straight from the motherland, Mexico. I'm from Mexico. He, for some odd reason, memorized this verse off Run DMC, King of Rock. The King of Rock, there is no higher. Suck MCs, they call me Sire. Blow your kingdom, you must choose fire. I won't stop rocking until I retire. He didn't speak English, but he was able to rap that, and
wow,
I got into
impressive.
It. And I'm like, what the, can we cuss? Are we cool?
Yeah, you can say
I'm like, what the fuck is that? And and he's like, oh, it's a Run DMC. I'm like, all right. So we listened to it, and I'm like, we got into it that way. But later on in life, you know, like later in junior high, me and my buddy, which is Brian Novato, he's my partner now and creative director at Juggernaut, we got into A Tribe Called Quest, and we got into it because, obviously, I'm assuming most people get into it this way via family members or somebody older than you that puts you on something fresh, and you're like, what is that? And they're like, yo, this is that shit. And you're like, okay, cool. And then that's when it sparks your interest, and then that's when you dig for yourself if you have that passion. But, yeah, we found Tribe, Native Tongues, De La Soul, Wu-Tang, obviously. Far Side, anything you could think of, that was our shit, that was my shit. But it all started because of my uncle that didn't speak English but knew a 8-bar verse to Run DMC.
Dope. Before we continue, my esteemed co-host forgot to give you
some
snacks.
I bet.
What you got over there?
So we have some lemon flavored iced tea, Arizona.
Let me get that green tea with you.
Green tea for you. And we have an Arnold Palmer. And we got hella other goodies. I'm gonna let you dig into the little gift bag, but we got some Lay's chips.
That's all, y'all. I'm fasting.
Okay.
But you can have them for later. I knew you were fasting.
Yeah, we got chocolate and all the good stuff in here too. If you want it, just you know where to find it.
Yeah.
Too many snacks to read and pass out like we normally do.
All right. So for me, my first interaction with hip-hop was really with the microphone. I grew up with a father who was a hip-hop head. He pretty much practiced all four elements, and he just was in his crib all the time, just in a studio doing his thing, and he would like sample my voice, and from there I was kind of always being fed bars. So the first, I would say, album that I the first hip-hop album that I ever heard was probably Midnight Marauders, and it is my favorite hip-hop album. Grew up on Baduism, grew up on Rakim and Eric B, and so it's very interesting to be in this time and space now. But yeah, those are my roots. That's when I fell in love with hip-hop.
So I had the illest two big brothers that introduced me to hip hop. So they're both DJs, legendary to the city, in my opinion. But I shared a wall with my middle brother, and I just remember going to sleep. And it's funny because Tribe it's dope that Tribe resonates with all three of us. But yeah, I mean, it really was Tribe, Wu-Tang, Mobb Deep, Black Star, you know. So that's really how I got introduced to it. But they would also, it's a 7 and 11 year age gap, so they would use my voice to be their intro for their mixes, you know. And I just remember, seeing my brother's room be, you know, all his flyers. Like, this is before social media, right? So they would print all their flyers, and he would have an entire wall. And I was like, damn, I can't wait. You know, like, I can't wait for that to be my life. And now it's just a digital version of it.
One of the questions we have here is we wanted to kind of better understand when and how you started to create in your chosen field, you know, based on what you guys are doing.
I mean, it really happened early for me, like, just because I had that direct influence of my pops, who was a rhymer, and he would freestyle all the time in front of me, so it was just real natural. I picked it up. I was always trying to write more than what I didn't know shit. I didn't have any experiences yet, you know, I'm like 11, 10, and trying to figure out topics to write about. And so it was just always something that I inherited, but come around like college, high school, that's when I really started to craft. That's when I learned how to be a songwriter and actually started to look at myself as an artist. But it grew with me.
Well, I don't know if you guys know Juggernaut or whatnot, you know that, like, my brother Manny's the DJ, and, you know, Brian is the creative director, but me and him used to be in a group. And I used to rap back in the day, and between me and you, you never stop rapping. Once you start rapping, if you like it, you just do it to release and to honestly, on my end, it's just to be fresh. So, like, the first time that I started, like, as soon as I started listening to hip-hop and we got into high school, we obviously met the older homies, and the older homies all rapped. And we're like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's fucking incredible. Because these dudes were all off top, which is something that lacks in today's music. But back then, it was all about being a talented freestyle rapper, off top, topics, questions, anything. And these guys were just so good at it. They were called Camp Do Good. Such a cool name, too. And because of them, me and Brian started rapping. Because of that, I never stopped. I still rap to this day. I still make music and songs. I just don't really release it or push it as other people do. It's more of a stress relief, you know. But with that, because of hip-hop, we were able to, like, explore. And just it opened up our eyes to so many things, man. Like, just learning vocabulary and words. I never knew what the word fraudulent was until Method Man said, Blaze represent, kill the fraudulent sucker. And we're like, what the fuck is fraudulent? We're like, oh, the fake muff. Okay, tight. So, like... Yeah, man, like, it's just a beautiful thing how music and how hip-hop did that for me, and I could speak for Brian and Manny, too. It just opened us up creatively. It opened us up to new things, and even with fashion, that's when we got into fashion. We got into, like, we started wearing Hilfiger because of Grand Poobah, and he was, I don't know, it was off the 2000 album, I believe, but it was one of the videos he had a Tommy Hilfiger flag shirt on, and we're like, what the fuck is that? And so Brian found out that they sold it at Marshall Fields. So the following day, we're at Marshall Fields, and we bought the flag tee. And I just remember taking turns carrying the bag. Like, yeah, let me carry that bag, bro. And then he carried a bag. And then, like, the next day, I went back to the mall and to Marshall Fields, and I bought a polo, a Tommy Hilfiger polo. So at that point, I was out stunting him, out flexing him. You know, so, like, this is in the 90s, too, man. It all. And then that led into, like, fashion battles amongst the cliques and shit. It was just fun, and because of hip-hop.
You still got bars?
Oh, yeah, we got some bars, bro.
I don't know. I was going to say, you want to perform with...
Do a little guest feature.
I feel that you just put... I just got nerve butterflies in my stomach. throughout the conversation, if it feels right, we'll get a...
Okay.
I know she'll bust the rap, yeah. So we'll get that cracking, maybe.
So for me, I started singing. So that was my craft. My mom was a singer, so my brothers were the DJs. I wanted to be like my mom. I moved to New York and kind of didn't realize how spoiled I was in my own city. And so when I moved to New York, I realized that I had to pay for beats and I had to pay for studio time. So I found DJing as a way to fill the void of still being able to do music, and then not knowing that this would be my main craft, and to find music again with performing and being a singer. So I guess for me, that was my intro.
I mean, I think specifically for you as a DJ, how do you express yourself through music, like the music you play?
I think for me, it's providing the experience through sound. So I always want to, I just curate. I love creating an experience at whatever sensory level that is, but specifically with sound, it's like I want to make people dance. I want to make people enjoy themselves. I want to provoke a feeling with sound, through sound, and to spread happiness that way.
And, you know, Roger touched on this. I mean, I think all of y'all, you know, explore this intersection of fashion and hip-hop. And I know even, like, Mother Nature really flea. You know, you look at their Instagram, and even you, you know, you model, and you're really into, you know, fashion and getting a fit off. So, you know, when did fashion enter your world? I mean, you kind of touched on it, Roger, but...
When we watched the Grand Poobah video and he was wearing a Tommy Hilfiger flag shirt, that kicked it off. And then then we went to the mall and we did that. And I mean, who does that? We did that because we thought it was fucking cool as hell. And after that, you obviously get into like you once you like something, you start exploring it if you truly have a passion for it. So you just start doing it on your own. And through that, we just found so much more. We ended up on the 90s thing was like Ralph Lauren, Polo, Nautica, Tommy Hilfiger, Timberland, that's all we fucking wore. That's all. That's the only reason we knew brands was because of hip-hop. And it was because our favorite rappers were wearing it. And it currently, to this day, it's still a factor. And nowadays, rappers battle brands. Do you guys remember A$AP Rocky battling, yeah. I think, Hood by Air? That don't make no sense to me. But this is the evolution of hip-hop and fashion. Like, it's becoming, these fashion brands are becoming their own real characters where, you know what I'm saying, you can attack it, which is really weird to me, but that's kind of tight.
What was the motivation for you to open a store then?
Oh, man. Well, we had opened up we've always been into fashion. We never thought we were going to open a store. We thought we were going to be rappers and shit, you know what I'm saying? But we helped open another store back in, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago now.
That's where I met y'all.
Yeah, it was a store called AOK Official, and we had this dude that, you know, he funded it all, whoop-de-woo. We just knew that there was money to be made, and we loved doing it, and we wanted to be owners of it, but, you know, shit happens, and we weren't able to buy into it, so see you later. You know, 6 months later, we brainstormed, and we opened Juggernaut, and we've been here for 10 years now, and we're just trying to figure out how to expand and evolve now beyond Chicago.
What's the question again?
When did fashion enter your world?
Okay. The Brat and Lisa Left Eye Lopez were probably like, are still my style icons. But fashion for me, I don't know, is one of the things. Like, I used to draw clothes. I used to try to stitch my own clothes together, and I literally still do that shit. It's like 15 years later. And I'm very DIY. Everything that I do fashion-wise has to be comfortable. It has to be me. It has to be crazy, sexy, cool. That's just how I am. And if someone else can't make it, I'm going to make it myself.
Sidebar. I remember when the What You Want or What You Like video came out and she had a bikini on and I was like, damn, she got titties. I was like, damn, the Brat. Okay, sorry, sidebar. So for me, I mean, like I said, now that I think about it, like my brothers have just been so influential into me as a human being. So being the baby, being, you know, having two older brothers, like I was just a tomboy. So I just wore their hand-me-downs. So, you know, Nautica, Hilfiger, Polo, just oversized. I mean, I'm still the same. I'm so the same. Look at my haircut. Look at, you know what I mean? Like this like the 90s kind of shape, but it's really like all the girl groups like TLC, En Vogue, I don't know why I'm blanking right now, but I mean, that's what shaped it. Aaliyah, like it was okay to be a woman and wear men's clothing, and it's like very on trend, I guess, right now to be a tomboy. But even when like girls call themselves tomboys, like I don't believe them, you know what I mean? But like no hate, no shame. But it's like I just feel like I've just been the same my whole life, you know. And like all these brands that are rebranding, like Jerbo and FUBU and Karl Kanai, that have like, you know, come back for this like rebirth, like right, like rappers have been wearing high fashion, you know what I'm saying? Like rappers have been high fashion, like breaking the mold. But that's a whole nother conversation.
Roger, you mentioned that you wanted to be a rapper, right? That was like the goal, the ultimate goal?
Yeah. You know, basketball player, rapper.
Yeah.
I know you guys. Usual kid shit.
I know you guys used to throw shows.
Yeah, we used to throw shows back at, well, we do shows with Juggernaut now, but we used to throw shows back in the day all the time.
You guys actually did Chance's first show, right?
Yeah, we did Chance's first show, man. I remember Ken first walking in. He's like, yo, man, we're trying to book this show for my son. We're like, who's your son? He's like, Chance. We're like, what?
I'm
like,
Chance who?
Yeah, well, that was Chance the rapper. Like, all right, cool. He had brought 5 Day. Chance brought 5 Day to the store, and it was, you know, scribbled on 5 Day, and I'm like, oh, he's like, can I leave this here and give to your customer? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. I'm like, bro, maybe you want to like invest some money in your stuff, like $100, get some, you know, like, you know, like sleeve or, you know.
Artwork.
And then he came back like a couple weeks later, a month later, and he brought 10 Day, same shit. It was just scribbled on, asked if 10 Day with Chance the Rapper hashtag, and I'm like, okay, he didn't pay, he didn't give a fuck, whatever, you know. I'm like, cool, he didn't listen, tight. We put it on, we press play. Man, it didn't leave. It was a CD player too. CD player. Some of you guys might. Well, my people over here.
Well, we're in Jones too, right?
No, I'm just on my earboat. But yeah, he brought it in, and it didn't leave the CD player for a whole week.
That's wild.
Like literally 8 hours a day that we were open, we played 10 Day.
Yeah. And we're actually at his home. This is Jones.
Yeah. And then like after we played it like for a week straight, like that's when Ken, his father, walked in. He's like, yo, we're trying to book the release show for 10 Day. We're like, and we're like, he's like, we want to do Reggie's, and they're like, how much are they charging? He's like, 5K. I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of money, bro. And he's like, yeah, they don't fuck with us. We're like, well, let's see what we can do. We actually offered, we paid for the whole thing too, because we believed him that much. We'll just pay for it. We'll split the profits at the end. Yeah, and ever since, we tried to do House of Blues, we tried to do Metro, we tried to do a couple other spots, but we landed at Lincoln Hall, and just 10 Day off. If anyone's heard 10 Day, man, like, I don't need to explain it. Just press play on it, and it'll explain itself. We sold it out 2 days before, I mean, 2 weeks before the actual show.
Oh, wow.
And this is Chance. And at that point, we always had to do meet and greets and stuff. We had one of the guys, some manager from some artist that I forget, but he was really curious about Chance, too. And I'm just like, wow, this is like the beginning. Like, this is going to be, I always knew he was going to be this big. I just didn't know it was going to be this fast.
Yeah.
But the internet's a motherfucker. And like the way information spreads nowadays, it's just, it makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Man, shout out to Juggernaut, though. Like, y'all, in the last decade, y'all have broke new artists. Y'all have supported Chicago artists.
Yeah, man, real talk on that, on that thing. We do it because we were you guys once. We were young, and we had aspirations, and we wanted to rap, and we wanted a place like ours. When we were young, we never had that. I had Tony Sports. Tony Sports didn't give a fuck about us. Mm. Like, they didn't care. They were the old dudes. We were the young guys. They didn't give a fuck. And we were coming in wearing Polo and Ralph, you know, Polo Sport, and they were selling FUBU, Mecca, which is dope. Fat Farm, which we converted after a while. But anyway, we didn't have a Juggernaut. We didn't have that. And just to be able to provide that is fucking awesome. Like, to see these kids and their fucking eyes light up. I don't want to feed them fucking dreams either, because you don't want to, like, you know, yeah, go be a rapper. It's going to be, come on, realistically, 80, 98% of you are not going to make it. Mm-hmm. But man, if you really truly have a passion, I do encourage that. And if it's up to you to do the work, you know what I'm saying? Just one or two words, it's a motherfucker, man. Like, there, you can whisper a word into somebody and it truly can give them courage, passion, you know what I'm saying? You can just be like, yo, that's dope. Oh, really? Oh, my God. The guy from Juggernaut thinks I'm dope. Holy fuck. And they tell me that shit. I'm like, who the fuck am I? I don't, you know, whatever. But it pushes them, and that's amazing. I wish I had something like that. I never had that.
I speak to that real quick. I'm actually from Champaign, and I went to U of I and all that. Just moved up here. I've been here for like 2 years now. But my first introduction to Chicago hip-hop was through Dave Koresh. Dave Koresh.
Shout out to Dave Koresh.
Shout out to Dave Koresh. Very good friend of mine. And that was the first person I met at U of I. And instantly Juggernaut was tied to what he did and represented. So just, you know, what the impact that Juggernaut has had on hip hop culture in Chicago and vice versa is a beautiful thing. You know, that's something that for me to not even be familiar with Chicago and to meet this MC who, I mean, Dave Crash, he's low-key famous in my world, but it's like, to meet this person and then for, you know, to have that attachment, I instantly, anytime I came to Chicago, I want to go to Juggernaut. You know, I want to meet the people that are involved in that. So,
yeah. So I know Dave used to copy my homework in college.
Why do you always tell that story?
Because it's a good story.
This man is tied to everyone on stage. But I just want to, just like some more background information, like Juggernaut, I went to school for fashion merchandising, and majority of the boutiques in Chicago at the time would not take me as an intern, and Juggernaut came with open arms. So I was the first female intern at Juggernaut. They also hosted my listening party for my first EP when I was 19. And
Dave
Koresh.
Today?
I'm not. And Dave Koresh actually was on one of the songs. So
that's dope. Yeah, that is a you are connected to everyone. Clevo, why did you choose to move to Chicago?
It was necessary. I can't say that I never thought I wanted to live in Chicago, even being so close to Chicago. I got a lot of friends up here, family, but it's just, I always wanted to go to New York. That was my main thing. And I went to New York. I was out there for a little while, came back home, finished school, and then I was just, man, things got really low in Champaign. The energies, just the situations, just the things that hold on to you and grasp you in life, just a lot of bullshit. And I was really outgrowing my situation. I was outgrowing the circuit there. I was outgrowing everything. And my sisters are both from Chicago, my manager and my partner in music. And it was just like, yo, we got to go to Chicago. We got to make it. We got to make this happen. It's not going to happen in Champaign. You know, no one's going to be able to. No one's here. There's not really a lot of money. There's no industry here. You could do dope shows, good vibes and stuff like that. But, you know, Chicago was necessary for us to expand. And I know we'll have to expand even further at some point. But Chicago's love has been the best foundation for what we do, because Mother Nature is all about spreading peace and love through hip hop culture, spreading knowledge, because knowledge is hip hop in motion. So it's like, we're just trying to like really instill that here close to home. It's like, if we're going to heal any community, it's going to be the community that we come from, that we're a part of. So that's our focus, and just trying to inspire while we're here, trying to make change, and then, you know, keep moving.
And Christine, you lived in LA before. Why did you come back to Chicago?
So yeah, amongst other reasons, leaving LA mostly because of situational
bullshit.
But yeah, I mean, it was a rough transition. I think me being away from home for 6-7 years, you know, I thought I would come back home and it would be this type of way, and I felt like I came home with my tail between my legs, but it was just perspective. Like, this has been the best choice I've ever made in my life, to be back in the city that has supported me since day one and has seen my transition and my growth from being an artist into a DJ and back into all my artistry. So, yeah, Chicago to the world, blow up.
It really is the best city, too. Everywhere that I've been, Chicago has the most, like, to me, the most community. Like, the degrees of separation between people are really not that big at all. And it's always family everywhere I go. There's a lot of, like, it's just a lot of beauty in Chicago. Aside from the cold, I can't say Chicago is the best city on earth.
I mean, you're from Champaign, though, so.
It's different. It's a different type of cold.
But this it builds character.
So. Yes, it does.
If you can withstand Chicago winters, you can do anything.
Exactly. Facts.
I mean, as we all know, you know, Chicago had a real moment, like 2011, 2012, and now we're here, like, 6 years later, and I feel like fashion in Chicago is having a moment, too. Can y'all talk about, you know, where you think Chicago fashion is in the national conversation, or where you want it to be?
I think Chicago wise, if you're talking national attention, global attention, you really need to mention RSVP Gallery. Everybody there is just fucking amazing. And then Virgil Abloh came out of there, and now he's Louis Vuitton Don, the new fucking creative director over there, which is amazing. Just Don's coming out of there. He's fucking global as well. Just the influence on Chicago and Chicago influencing global culture is... it's because we have people like that coming out of Chicago, and they are obtaining all these eyes around them. And people like the Manos, and people like Chance, and people like Vic, that are have, and then even Fresh Goods now that has more attention and national attention on them. We now, our community is getting an opportunity to dictate fashion more. You know what I'm saying? With Virgil, with his finger literally on the button, and he's a Chicago kid, like... that it doesn't get more influential than that with Louis Vuitton. But that's the cool thing, that we just have more cool people coming out of Chicago that are making it, that are building a name for themselves and just attracting a ton of attention. And those people are fashionable people, that people that others will look at and be like, fuck, I want to look like them. What is he wearing? What is she wearing? What is that? And more people are doing DIY stuff too nowadays. And just more people doing that, it just... gives them the opportunity to be their own designers, and if it does pop off with people enjoying it, then they can recreate and duplicate and sell, you know, manufacture and sell. But I just think with people like these, like Christine Marie's and the Pharaohs and everybody building a name for themselves and actually obtaining a real following, that's the true influence that we have on the global market. And it's just us doing us, which is the coolest fucking part about it. So
it's crazy to see, you know, other cities and people and brands kind of just steal designs and steal.
Oh, but that's been happening. That's fashion. Like, specifically streetwear. Streetwear has never been a fundamentally original, you know what I'm saying? Like, the only original thing I could really think of was, like, couture, the one-off one pieces, one of one pieces. But with, like, streetwear itself, it was always, like, they were just biting off Ralph Lauren. They were just biting, like, that's all it is. But with, like, the cut-and-sew sector becoming more... popular, and people just getting tired of just wearing the same prints. So that's another side of things, that's where you get the one of one pieces or whatever. But yeah, man, biting has always been there, man. Music, hip hop, fashion, nothing, even kind. There's nothing's an original idea. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Both so mine, yeah.
Biting is a thing. The sharks, the piranhas. You know.
I think it's like. Chicago kids are just so true to themselves, and individuality has just really pushed what it's supposed to be. So I think that's why people are so successful. I mean, you know, like just looking at everyone on stage, like everyone has their own individual style, but it's like it's just expressing yourself in a different manner. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, like everyone that came out of Leaders or everyone that comes out of RSVP, like, you know, working under Just Don and, you know, and RSVP, it was like everyone had their own individual style, but it was like everybody was still so fresh. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether you shopped at the thrift store or if you, you know, put Cavemp together with a thrift store piece, you know, to make it one of one, or, you know, like people that didn't wear brands at all, or just I would wear shit inside out just so that I wouldn't show branding. Yeah, Chicago just has style, I think, and I think it's very underrated, you know, because we're overshadowed by, you know, houses that are in LA or in New York. But yeah, I think the focus has been shifted in regards to culture in general for our city, not just fashion, not just music, just food, everything. Like, we have everything to offer, but no one has took the time to look on the middle of the map. You know what I mean? So now we have the opportunity.
For me, like I said, I'm a very DIY type of person when it comes to what I wear, how I express myself. Hip hop is starting from nothing and making something out of it, and that's literally what I do. So when it comes to fashion, I mean, what was the question? Chicago is
just on, like, where Chicago is in the national conversation, where you want it to be in terms of fashion.
I honestly don't have any, like, opinion or information on that. I'm sorry.
Shout out to Champagne.
Yeah. Shout out to Champagne.
You mentioned how everyone has their own unique style, and I'm a big fan of your style, so I wanted to kind of understand better, like, how do you use fashion as a form of self-expression?
I dress to my comfort, really. sometimes, like specifically in the winter, I'm forever in sweatpants and a hoodie, and majority of what I wear is oversized. I did this, one of my really good friends, Charlie, does girl talk, so one of the topics that she did was on being a tomboy, and, you know, I talked about how it's me controlling what I want from the viewer, kind of in all aspects of what I do, but more so with my clothing. It's like, I know I have a body, so for me it's like kind of how I want to display myself. It's like, because I'll wear tight clothing when I want to, when I feel like it, but for the most part, like, this is me being comfortable. This is what's comfortable to me on an everyday level. And so, like, when I'll joke and be like, you know, this is me putting effort into being a girl or whatever. I had a skirt on yesterday, mm-hmm. but I had a extra large tee on tucked into it. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's kind of like finding, I call myself King Marie, so, you know, finding, like, a balance between masculinity and femininity and just being comfortable with myself. This is really just how I express myself. Like, I love colors. I love being loud. I love having an edgy haircut. But also wearing wigs, you know what I mean? Like, so it just really depends.
It's a question for everyone, too. How do you...
Yeah, I can definitely piggyback off of that, of just having that, like, masculine, feminine energy, and also growing up with a pops who did not buy me girl clothes. I always had some, like, oversized Adidas, Nike shit. And I'm like, okay, cool, I wear this. And that's still very true. Just being comfortable. Like I said, I like to look crazy. I like to look sexy. I like to look cool. So hair, sometimes I might have my nails done up. Sometimes I will be in something really sexy, and sometimes I'll be completely bummy, or I might be like, get a fit off. I don't know. It's really depending on how I feel day to day. It depends on what Mother Nature got going on day to day. And I just try to always be ready no matter what. I feel like how you feel is how you look. So if you feel good in what you got on and shit, that's all that matter.
Even on a bummy day, though, it's a fit. It's always a fit.
I'm a little bit more lazy than everybody else. I tend to just wear what's in my closet or on the floor. I shop with my store only. I rarely go outside of it just because I feel that I need to support ourselves. I tend to wear only Juggernaut shit because I represent Juggernaut. I don't know. That's really it. It could be cold. I'll wear a Juggernaut tee because I have a Juggernaut tee. It could be hot. I'll wear a Juggernaut hoodie because I have a Juggernaut hoodie. Eventually, we start making everything else, and it'll be Juggernaut from head to toe. And hopefully, I can convince everybody else in this planet to do the same. So, yeah.
So you were talking about, oh, do you have something else to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, just on that sense of, like, you actually rocking what you own, my collective's been on that lately. We're, like, we're making everything. We're making Mother Nature shirts. We're making Think shirts for our larger collective, sweatpants, all of that shit, where it's like, I don't need to wear anything else. Like, my style is already what I have, so I'm just going to print all over that shit, and I'm going to rock it, and then people are going to ask what's up, and it's exclusive. You can't get it. So, is something that we just recently talked about, like, where it's like, we're gonna wear our own shit. We don't have to wear and buy into all these other things. We can collaborate, but yeah.
You were talking about community and how, you know, you find that to be a really beautiful part of Chicago. Why do y'all think community has been so integral to Chicago's arts and culture and music scenes?
I personally think it's all interrelated, which is why the degrees of separation are not, you know, far off. And I wanted to add, like, I try and support as many Chicago artists as I can. So, like, Hidden, this is the Chicago, Filipino Chicago brand. So if it's not, like, high-end Japanese, it's Chicago brands. Like, I have a archive of fucking Juggernaut tees, you know. I've been around the world and wore a Juggernaut tee. I was in Mexico and just wore one. Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's people that are leading, are leaders or whatever in the community. They don't just do one thing. They, you know, they try and build with each other. You know what I mean? Like, I got a collab with Work With Friends. I got a collab with Sheila Rashid. I got a collab with Healthy Hood and trying to build, you know, build community out of just whoever's trying to help, whoever's trying to create, like, I want to work with them. Like, okay, so we gonna do this together. What's your idea? How can I help? Where can I play a role? And, you know, sometimes that works against me just because I be wanting to help everybody and I can't help everybody, but if I can, I want to.
What's the question?
Oh, just why do you think community is so intrinsic to, you know, Chicago's arts and music scenes?
Why? I mean, that's the only way I know how to operate.
Or why do you think it's important, you know?
I mean, it's important because we're in this shit together. Whether you look at your smaller community in Chicago, whether you look at Chicago as a whole, or whether you look at, like, this entire, you know, mass of land that we're on, we're all in this shit together. So to not work in community, to not work collectively is to deny yourself. And so that's how I see it. Everything that we do is, it's for that. If you're gonna raise the vibration, because that's essentially what we're doing. If you're gonna raise the vibration, you can't do that alone, and you can't just do that with your group of people. You have to spread that energy around. You have to move your energy around, and you have to learn new things. And you can only do that, you know, through other people.
Yeah, man, community is, like, important to building anything, particularly the music scene and art scene here in Chicago. It's really cool how it's gotten a lot more tight-knit. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody touches everybody. People work with each other. That's amazing. That didn't happen 10 years ago. That was was mind-blowing. That was a conversation that'd be like, the conversation was always, oh, Chicago's a crab of buckets. One's trying to get out, the other one's pulling down. That was what we were known for. But now, the community has just been building together, and it's beautiful the direction that it's going, because we do fuck with everybody and anybody that walks through those doors. Like, if you're cool and you're on some cool shit, we're going to encourage it, man. We may not, like, totally help you, but we're going to encourage it. You know, we're not going to, like... And we want to help people that come in through those doors, and those people are helping their people. You know what I'm saying? And it all just—it's just this whole thing that the community is becoming larger but smaller because everybody knows each other, and there's more people entering it. But the thing is, everyone works with each other. Now, we've worked with Christine. I've never worked with you, but I'm positive if things keep moving, we will cross paths somehow. It's just how it works. Like, we know Kevin. Everyone knows Kevin. Kevin knows the world. It's just how you build and grow, you know, like through interacting with your people, with your circles and your community. Come fuck with me so now we can find something together that we have in common and really build toward that. And fashion has been really blowing up here with people like Christine. She's doing an amazing job. It's just really cool to see these people, to be able to work with these companies and stores that are global now. And we're trying to be global. We're trying to be like them as well. But it's awesome to see these people. I know they were outside looking in before. And now because of the way that it's been working out, they're able to participate and become part of it. We always wanted the outsider to be a part of it. We were never closed doors, ever. And we still aren't. But I've noticed that other places are opening their doors to just local kids that are just trying to do some shit, man. And that's the only way we're going to grow. If everyone has their fucking doors closed, nobody's going to grow. Like, that's it. It's game over. And now that we're actually working as a kind of not one, there's like one goal, and the goal is to put Chicago on. You know what I'm saying? Everyone wants to put themselves on, but at the end of the day, they're also representing Chicago. So, like, just by them doing that, there is a like kind of like a common goal, which is to, like, get the city cracking. You know what I'm saying? But I just, the community part, the family part is dope to me now because everyone is opening their doors. Mm-hmm. Like, we're open ears to anybody. The high school kids that go here, you have a great idea, let's fucking talk, dude. Let's figure something out. You want to do something cool, let's do it. And that's the only way anything will grow, is if one does it in the community or together, like, in general, man. Just... shout out Chicago right now. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, and to be a Chicagoan is to be proud, you know? Like, I didn't even know he had Chicago on his forearm. We have it in the same spot, and I know so many other people that have it, you know, on tattooed. I have two Chicago tattoos on me, and, you know, like Dez's campaign, like we got Chicago everywhere with Juggernaut. Who else but us? Like, you know, it's this sense of like being proud of where you're from, and really, it's like we got. If no one else is going to do it for us, like I was saying, like no one looked to Chicago to host events here, or to, you know, big brands weren't thinking of us. But it's like everything that you need from a big city without it being bougie or without it being too much like New York or LA, you know, like this is the best city on the planet, hands down. So it's like if no one else is going to believe in us, then we are the only ones who are going to make it crack for us.
To wrap it up, one of the understand who are some of your influences in music and fashion or anything, and what are you listening to as well?
Oh, right now I'm old, man. I'm not gonna tell you my age, but whatever. I feel, man, you can't not, like, you gotta be open to new music and new shit. I like good music, man, not just hip hop. This is a hip hop conversation. That's awesome. I love hip hop, but I love good music, bro.
It doesn't, you can, yeah.
Oh, so yeah, it just becomes this whole thing. So like people my age, man, they're kind of like known as the bitter dudes. You know what I'm saying? The bitter old hip hop dudes that are like just mad at the world because they don't like this mumble rap or whatever. It's just whatever, man. Like, just, you're gonna be mad all fucking day. And angry, and you're not gonna be able to put on the radio or listen to anything because you're just gonna be pissed, and you're gonna be stuck listening to the same fucking 40, 50 songs 10,000 times. I've heard every possible hip hop song, and I love them still. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just need a break, man. You need a break from your lover from time to time, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, back up, let me do me first. I'm gonna go rock out some fucking punk rock or something, you know? Mm-hmm. But. I listen to like Lil Pump, you know what I'm saying? I feel weird, y'all. Oh, y'all might be young then. I'm all about that young bands guy, because our community at the store is young, man. I'm used to talking 17-year-olds all day. It's not weird for me. For me, it's actually quite fucking normal. And these kids just listen to all the turn up shit, which I also like, but you know, we will put on like a Biggie playlist and then put them on. The greatest thing to be able to do for the youth, for me, for music, is to be able to put them on to like old shit that I had no fucking idea. I was playing this old Janet Jackson remix. It's new now, but it's a remix of this Janet Jackson song. Oh my god, dude, oh my fucking god. What the fuck is this? You ever heard of Janet Jackson? No. I'm like, what?
Whoa.
What? You never heard of Janet Jackson? I'm like, well, this is Janet Jackson, dude. It's not the original, but this shit's hot, right? Oh yeah, this shit's hot. And then the breakdown, you know how they do it. And they, y'all know how to dance. I ain't gonna dance for you. But anyway, yeah, I listen to everything, man, including old classic shit. But like, my whole thing is just don't be a close-minded, man. Open your ears, listen to everything, because just, you don't want to be walking around this earth just pissed all fucking day.
What are some of your guys' influences right now, or favorite things you're listening to?
Okay, I'm always listening to Badu. I'm always listening to Kendrick and Cole, Outkast, Lupe, still throw Lupe on, Currency. Constantly influenced by those artists and their artistries. But I was gonna keep it Chicago in terms of people I'm listening to right now. Saba, love Saba. Sen Morimoto, I don't know if you guys know Morimoto, but I'm super in love with his style right now. So I've been listening to a lot of him. And honestly, Mother Nature, when you're in a zone and you're making like a project, you're kind of like all you're listening to. So I've been listening to a lot of Mother Nature. If you haven't heard of them, look them up. They're amazing.
So the Cudi album just came out. Yeah, I mean, just on the intro alone, I almost cried. And it's been, you know, like I was saying about music, kind of like evoking a feeling out of you, and you know, where it's like happy, dark music, which is like, I don't know if it's just, you know, what I'm going through or, you know, just how I'm feeling, but it resonated. So that's what's been on repeat for me. But I just love how many female rappers are coming out the game. I mean, I remember like growing up, you know, shit, there was so many female rappers, like not just Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown, but it was like a Mill and the Brat, like, you know what I mean? There was just so Missy, it's like variety. Just a variety of female rappers, you know, whereas like
I feel like there was lacking for a little bit.
It was yeah. It was like it was just Nicki Minaj.
That's why yeah. She was able to take that reign,
and but yeah. Which is why Cardi B is where she's at, because it was right. Like there was no yeah like mm-hmm. There was no like crossover Latina that was doing trap to pop to, you know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to Cardi B. But like on a like more indie scale, like Tierra Whack, you know, I've been a Tierra Whack fan for a minute. Saweetie, who is also part Filipino, shout out to her. I go hard for this Filipino shit, so you know. But who else? Baby Mother. Yeah. There's just, you know, I'm so happy that there's just more female artistry in general. That's just to name a few, yeah. I guess. This could go on.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, and to touch on what Roger was saying, like to be a DJ, you know what I mean? Like I, you know, 90s, 2000s hip hop and R&B is forever what molds me. But it's like, yeah, you just have to have an open ear. Like I can't go into it not being able to play mumble rap. You know what I'm saying? Like I know who my crowd is. I know who my market is. But also like, man, reggaeton where it's at right now is just like it's so amazing to me. Like Afrobeat where it's at right now, like there's just so many dope artists in every genre, like across the board. I guess like country's not my thing, but I'm sure.
Oh, that one Tierra Whack song.
Oh yeah, she switched up her accent, yeah, and she's in country. Yeah, does that count? Because I'll play
know.
That.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if that's that.
That's not fair. Sorry to the country. Folks, I'm gonna let y'all have that genre.
Well, that's it, and you know, let's give a round of applause for everyone who spoke.
Yeah. Are you guys gonna drop your social medias real quick?
Oh, that too, yes.
Where can people find you?
Oh, juggernaut.com, juggernaut.com, 427 South Dearborn and Congress, right there. Come say hello. I haven't seen a lot of your faces, so I'm gonna remember you. You walk in, I'm gonna hook you up. I see you in these streets. You ain't been in the store. I'll probably just say hello anyway. Like, what's up?
All right, Mother Nature, we be everywhere. Literally, you can find us in Chicago doing a show a few times a month. You can find us at Mother Nature Bars with a Z. Mother Nature Bars with a Z.
DJ King Marie on all platforms, on all social media platforms, djkingmarie.com.
Cool.
Oh, shout out to Ruby Ibarra. Also, the illest Filipino rapper right now.
True.
And now, Cleva is going to perform a little short set.
Okay, all right. Let's do it. It's not often that I am ready. It's not often that I don't perform with my sister. It's been a long time since we've done this. Also, not often that I perform in front of, like, sitting audiences. So, we're just going to make this real comfortable, okay? Right. Can we turn the track up a little bit? Yeah.
Got everything I wanted, girl. I wish. Yeah. Never needed money to be rich. Got everything I wanted, girl. But first I threw a party with your bitch. Yeah. I ain't put nobody on the list. Never needed money to be rich. Got everything I wanted, grant a wish. But first I threw a party with your bitch. I ain't put nobody on the list. I'm a living legend, ain't no such thing as dead. Please every remind you all this shit that's been embedded. I'm indebted, I ain't even slept up in a bed in months. Maybe once, I've been owning all my stuff. Still seeing double, dragging me and sis been through the struggle. We ain't asking for opinions, bitch, we zazzy. I put that on my daddy, black girl genius. They surprised by my demeanor. Always had a higher purpose, didn't know the reason. Blinded by my grievances, confided in my demons. I always move in seasons, mother nature, my allegiance. I always been a thinker, that's the greatness of a leader. He called me a diva, now he a believer. That just be the toss up when you make the choice to boss up on these niggas. Sauce, they can lick up, sign, still deliver. Bless my mother liver. I got other triggers, get to know me before you speak. It ain't power that I see. Never needed money to be rich. Got everything I wanted, grant a wish. But first I threw a party with your bitch.
And I ain't put nobody on the list. Ay. Never needed money to be rich. Got everything I wanted, grant a wish. But first I threw a party with your bitch. And I ain't put nobody on the list.
I made a way. I say, bitch, I made a way. I made a way. I say, yeah, I made a way. Yeah, if you made a way, made a way.
That was rich. That was rich. Try to make affirmation music. So it's very in your face, but it pushes you, right?
Yeah. Woke up to myself like, oh my God, oh my God. Don't need no one else, bitch, I'm in charge. Run it up, run it up. Just need a reason to run it up. Run it up, run it up. Just need a reason to run it up. I woke up to myself like, oh my God, oh my God. Don't need no one else, bitch, I'm in charge. Run it up, run it up. Just need a reason to run it up. Run it up, run it up. Just need a reason to run it up. Yo, baby step, baby step. It take a while, gotta pay respect. Can't figure them out, gotta pay your dues. Fuck what they talking, we break the rules. Know what you work to get paid a fool. Know that I'm working, I play it cool. Future is certain, I prayed it through. This is the process, this is the vision I seen in my conscience. The reason I be at the concerts. New territories to conquer. New categories and sponsors. Contacts, contracts, vibes. Catching contact high. This how I survive. It's a constant ride, never compromise. I woke up to myself like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Don't need no one else, bitch, I'm in charge. Run it up, run it up. Just need a reason to run it up. Run it up, run it up. Just need a reason to run it up. I woke up to myself like, oh my God. Don't need no one else, bitch, I'm in charge. Run it up, run it up. Just need a reason to run it up. Run it up, run it up. Just need a reason to run it up.
Do it.
Got a large little medley going on here. Thanks for the love. Thanks for the
do
love.
Do it.
Y'all feeling good?
Let me play.
Good vibes. Y'all not too. All right.
Do it. Do it. Let
me play. So a lot of the music that we do is very black girl centered. We make music for black girls. We tell our stories. And this is one.
I'm your number one pick. I'm tangled all in your neck. So I nap here a little bit. Let me play. Pick. You can lay in my lap, yo. I lasso your ass quick. This feeling here is so natural. I grab her with my fist. I love to hear your laugh, so I crack jokes and shit. Tangled all in your nap, so I nap here a little bit. If Martin Luther never had a dream, I probably wouldn't exist. My mama white, my daddy black. It's a problematic ass mix. So my mind wrong, but my mind strong. Cross milestones when I will. Yeah, I wanna play, I wanna play, I wanna play. I love the way you twist me up. You're so creative. You're so creative.
You're so creative.
You're so creative. Lock me down, I dread the day you go away. Don't go away. Don't go away. Mango, coconut, and lime, my favorite fragrance. My favorite fragrance. My favorite
fragrance. Alright, I got one more for y'all. I got one for y'all. And then we all can leave and enjoy our day. This one is This Your Year. It's personally my shit. So when you get home, look us up, iTunes, Spotify, all of that good shit. Mother Nature, This Your Year. Dope visual. Check it out.
Yeah, come in, get your life. Got plenty light. Tell me what's your mood. Adjust the hue to fit your vibe. Can I get you high? Living black and white, niggas acting like I ain't sacrificed my whole life for this. I chose life instead. I grip mics to death, met you via session. Lord, is this a blessing? We the perfect match. Pray on my addictions, play on my obsessions. Bet you the first to cry. Say my name, say my name. mention me every day. Swear I want everything, Jose and Mary Jane. Jose and therapy, they dig me and bury me 6 feet deep. But I spread my roots, I spread my wings, plant my seeds, reap what I sow. She gon' get deep, but you grow. I need a piece of that though, I need a week to let go. We get my knees when she roll. All the baddies dropping right here. One that love me cause I'm top tier. Yeah, I'm a savage, she had no fear. None. Call it magic, baby, it's your year. Yeah, all the baddies dropping right here. Yeah, wanna love me cause I'm top tier. Yeah, I'm a savage, she had no fear. None. Call it magic, baby, it's your year. This your year, baby, this your year. This your year, baby, this your year. I mean that shit. This your year, baby, this your year. I say this your year, baby, this your year. Thanks, y'all. Peace and love. Mother Nature bars with a Z. This your year, I mean that shit. Whatever you need to do to get it done, to be who you are, to be who you want to be, do that shit. Do that shit with love. Spread your light. You are powerful. All right. Peace.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Olsen for the logo and art.
Big up WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.